Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Psalms, and it is Psalm number 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the sky. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly assembly. Praise him, O sun and moon. Praise him, all you shiny stars. Praise him, O highest heaven, and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he gave the command and they came into existence. He established them so they would endure. He issued a decree that will not be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures and all you ocean depths. O fire and hail, snow and clouds, O stormy wind that carries out his orders, you mountains and all you hills, you fruit trees and all you cedars, you animals and all you cattle, you creeping things and birds, you kings of the earth and all you nations, you princes and all you leaders on the earth, you young men and young women, you elderly along with you children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty extends over the earth and sky. He has made his people victorious and given all his loyal followers reason to praise. The Israelites, the people who are close to him, praise the Lord. The second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The escape to Egypt. After they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to look for the child to kill him." Then he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and went to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. In this way, what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet was fulfilled. "I call my son out of Egypt." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became enraged. He sent men to kill all the children in Bethlehem and throughout the surrounding region, from the age of 2 and under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud wailing, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were gone." The return to Nazareth. After Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and returned to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. After being warned in a dream, he went to the regions of Galilee. He came to a town called Nazareth and lived there. Then what had been spoken by the prophets was fulfilled, that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God, take my thoughts and words And transform and translate them into the message you have for your people right now. Open all our hearts to hear and understand what you are saying. Amen. We survived. We lived through Advent and Christmas. All that time spent looking for the perfect gift and hoping the budget would stretch to buy the perfect gifts. All that wrapping, baking, cooking, cleaning, decorating. Well, we know all the things we did leading up to December 24th and 25th. And then there's the celebration itself. Hoping those perfect gifts are perfect and will be appreciated. Getting together with family, which can be stressful, or perhaps missing someone who's absent. Eating too much, maybe. When you fell into bed on Christmas Day, did anyone feel a bit let down? Or maybe the letdown came the next day. It's over? That's it? What a lot of work and fuss for one day. And it is, if you take the view that Christmas is at most a two-day event. Because with the first Sunday in December, we started hearing about Advent, that time of waiting and preparing for the coming of the Messiah. And long before that, of course, we heard Christmas was coming, in the stores, on the radio, in the advertising media. It was round about Halloween, I think, that we started getting hit over the head with instructions to prepare by baking delicious goodies, decorating our homes and ourselves, buying gifts for loved ones and for ourselves, buying more gifts, eating and drinking and eating and drinking. And depending where your attention is, this might seem the way to celebrate Christmas. But celebration was a long way from the minds of the Holy Family, who traveled quite a long distance, only to find that there was nowhere to stay and no place for Mary to give birth except a stable. Now, I am taking things a little bit out of order here, I admit, because in the church calendar, we haven't yet reached Epiphany and the arrival of the wise men. And I have a little bit out of step because we're following the lectionary lessons. So we've heard today about Joseph taking Mary and Jesus to hide in Egypt because the wise men warned them to go there to avoid Herod. Now, I hope that's not a spoiler for anyone. So this couple and their newborn son became refugees, fleeing from the danger of King Herod, who was frightened that a tiny baby could and would change the order of things and take away his, Herod's, power. As I said, celebration was far from their minds. It's a gritty and realistic story. And maybe it's easier to understand because things haven't changed. There is still suffering, injustice, pain, and fear. There are still refugees fleeing danger every day. So after the shepherds returned to their work, and as the angel chorus faded, when Joseph got warnings to flee, the young couple put on their cloaks in great haste and turned their backs on Bethlehem, taking with them the ultimate souvenir of the wondrous thing that had happened there. Yes, we just passed through Advent. That and Easter are the most identifiable seasons of the Christian calendar, and the shortest. At each moment, as we prepare for the birth of Christ the Savior, and then as we celebrate his birth, we already know how the story ends. It ends up there on the cross. And then it begins again with the resurrection. Jesus was born because God saw that all was not right with the world. After Jesus was born, all was not right with the world. After Jesus died on the cross, all was not right with the world. Even after the resurrection, all was not right with the world. All is not right with the world yet. And it just makes me wonder, now what? There's such a difference between the time leading up to Christmas and now, the time after Christmas. And I never really mind working before Christmas and on Christmas Eve, because everyone is in a good mood, happy, hopeful, full of good wishes. But I'm often really tempted to take the week after Christmas off, because there is a feeling of letdown as reality sets in. If I did that, I guess I wouldn't be here leading worship. And I might not have been reminded that this realistic story of danger and threats and fear is very much a part of the Christian story. I was right here on Christmas Eve at the 11 p.m. service. There was such peace and quiet joy. It reminded me of my earliest memories of Advent. Every year, felt letters were put up on the wall below the cross, one per week. First hope, then peace, then love, then joy. But where do suffering, injustice, and pain fit in with those lovely Advent ideals? Where was God when Herod was threatening Joseph, Mary, and Jesus and killing the children of Bethlehem? Maybe you're wondering where I'm going with this and whether it's all going to boil down to, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's not what I want to focus on. But suppose there is a spectrum of suffering, injustice, and, well, bad things. Because bad things do happen to all of us. That's part of life. On one end of the spectrum are those who don't rise above suffering. For example, abused people who grow up themselves to be abusers. And we might want to include Herod in that group, although the Bible doesn't say that Herod was abused as a child. On the other side of the spectrum, we have people like Nelson Mandela, an unforgettable fighter of injustice in the midst of danger and great personal suffering. And in the middle of the spectrum are most people, most of us, striving to be worthy through faith and proclamation of the grace that we already received and continue to receive. Regardless of why suffering happens and what forms it may take, it is God who sees us through when we suffer. Emmanuel, God with us. Where have I heard that before? Oh, right. It was the promise God made when he told Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, even though she was with child and it was not his child. In a dream, God told Joseph not to be afraid because Mary was going to give birth to the Savior, God with us. And that promise was to all of us. Without God's grace and presence in the midst of hard times, there would be only despair and resentment. Without our acknowledgement of God's grace and presence, all suffering is diminished. It is not erased, and it is not taken away, but it's meaningless. With the birth of Christ, God became incarnate, accepting and becoming all that is hard, terrible, and difficult about humanity and human life. But don't be afraid. Wait, there's more. Going back to Advent and those words on the wall below the cross, hope, peace, love, joy, Advent doesn't prepare us only for the birth or arrival of Christ the child. It also prepares us for his life, for living our lives. As I said earlier, we know how the story ends, on the cross, and we know that it begins again. We just experienced the reminder of the birth of Christ. And in a few months, we're going to relive the terrible events of his death. It's a cycle that actually mirrors our lives. Yes, on Christmas Eve, we felt the anticipation of great things. And each year, we feel that anticipation of great things. We may light candles, like the Advent wreath. We may share the bread of life and the cup of love. Hope, peace, love, joy. These are the gifts of God given to us when, as Christ, he became one of us. And we need hope, peace, love, and joy in our lives every day. We need to receive these gifts and then to give them away. Give, receive, repeat. I could say more, but I'm only diluting another message, the word of Scripture. Apart from that, others have said what I want to with far more skill. So I'm going to end with a poem by one of my favorite authors, Madeleine L'Engle. In this poem, she writes about the reality of Christmas. The birth of wonder. As I grow older, I get surer. Man's heart is colder, his life no purer. As I grow steadily more austere, I come less readily to Christmas each year. I can't keep taking without a thought, forced merrymaking and presents bought in crowds and jostling. Alas, there's not an empty wassailing where oblivion's sought. Oh, I'd be waiting with quiet fasting, anticipating a joy more lasting. And so I rhyme with no apology during this time of eschatology. Judgment and warning come like thunder. But now is the hour when I remember an infant's power on a cold December. Midnight is dawning and the birth of wonder. Now what? Now the dawning of the birth of wonder, the dawning and redawning of hope, peace, love, and joy. Amen. We will be passing a plate around to collect offerings. And at this point, I always need to make a note that the offering is what you are able to give, and the offering is not just monetary. We offer through service, we offer through prayer. You are invited to give what you're able to. You are not expected. You are not required. That is not part of this service or this congregation. And while the offering is being collected, we will be hearing some of the announcements of this church. And now is a good time for me to mention something I already forgot, and that is some thank yous. I want to thank Norma for playing today, Abby and Marlene for their assistance with the technical side of things, David for reading, And last but not least, Deborah, who is going to give the announcements.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Deborah Richards, and I'm the chair of the ministry board. And as both of our ministers are away today, you get to hear from me. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Barbara for leading worship this morning. It's always a challenge for ministers to come to the pulpit on the Sunday right after Christmas. It does change. It's not as full as it is the week before Christmas, and we certainly appreciate the message that you brought to us this morning about now what. In terms of what is happening at the church this week, it's a quiet week until Thursday when the office reopens, and most of our activities as a church begin again the week of the 6th of January. So I'd invite you to check the bulletin for activities that start again in about a week. Carrie is on her way, I think, today to Hawaii to spend some time with her dad. And she'll be away for about 2 weeks and then back, and then on study leave. And Will will be back in the week and then next Sunday. A couple of announcements. As you know, we started our Korean ministry this past year. And next week, Sunday, the Korean ministry meeting group will be meeting on January the 5th, right after the service. And Pyeongshik has asked me to invite everyone to the Korean New Year's celebration, which is going to be here on Saturday, January the 11th at 5:30 p.m. And we just need an idea of who's going to be here. And so there is a sign-up sheet on the kiosk for you. And we'd invite you to put your name there so we know how many people are going to be attending. And we look forward to seeing you there. And that's all there is for this week. Thanks.
Okay. As the offering is brought forward, we will sing one verse of In the Bleak Midwinter. Please rise as you're able.